Hello, you fans. Welcome into the Crimson Corner podcast. It's powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your host, Trevor Allen. I've got a really special guest coming up on the podcast today. We'll catch up with former Utah cornerback Ryan Lacy. As you all know, on Twitter, when the Morgan Scully news broke, he put out his thoughts about an incident that happened between he and Morgan Scully in 2008. And now that Morgan Scully has been reinstated with the program, Ryan Lacy has been getting threats over this whole story. So I caught up with former Utah cornerback Ryan Lacy. All right, time to catch up with a guy who I wish it was in a better way, but obviously with what he's going through right now, I kind of wanted to get his side of the story and give him the platform to tell his side of the story of what's been going on surrounding Morgan Scully. We catch up with former Utah cornerback Ryan Lacy. Ryan, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, doing well. I wish that we, you know, could have met on better terms, but right now, you know, I'm doing the best I can with, you know, what's being presented.
I kind of want to go all the way back to the start, and that was when Morgan Scully was, university did, that Morgan Scully sent a text message back in 2013 to a possible prospect that had a racial slur in it, and that was what kind of led to this whole thing. He was put on leave and all that stuff, and then players started speaking out, former players did, about some of the things that have happened while at Utah football. And you sent out a tweet about a name that Morgan Scully called you when you were a freshman in 2008. Is that right?
Incorrect.
Walk me through what happened with that and then what kind of led to you telling your story now.
You know, when I saw the original article of Coach Scully's allegations from the other family, you know, I looked into it and there was a tweet on the article that, you know, they were kind of discussing what happened. So I rarely go on Twitter, but I have the app on my phone. So I typed on the tweet and it took me to Twitter. And, you know, now I'm in the Twitter world reading everything regarding the situation. And then Coach Scully had posted something regarding George Floyd and the family that, you know, got the text message from him. Decided to reply to that, and they were highly upset about him posting something like that after the allegation that were brought to him. So after he, you know, I was reading through and I saw a lot of backlash coming to the family and a lot of, you know, expose the text, you're lying. And so at that point, you know, I felt like I'm going to speak my truth of what happened to me. And, you know, I rarely tweet and I'm rarely on social media, but after reading that, I was kind of disappointed in the Utah fan base. Or, you know, as Twitter world, there's a lot of trolls out there, but there's a lot of people that were, of importance that were actually replying. So when I put my tweet out there, I had no idea it was, you know, anyone was going to see it. It was just my truth. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to let this family be a victim of that. And if I was a victim too, and, you know, and my family was aware. So, you know, it's something that I've dealt with. But after I sent that text message, it kind of took off from there. I wasn't expecting any type of attention, or I didn't even know people were going to see it, to be honest. It was just something I thought maybe I would get maybe a couple of retweets, a couple likes or something like that. Maybe I knew it was going to get a couple replies, but not to the pedigree of what happened.
Walk us through what happened. I mean, you obviously talked about why you came out with it, but what happened? You know, it sounds like it was something that happened during practice while you were playing at the U.
Yes, it was. And, you know, there's a lot of locker room mentality. And that word is used loosely, you know, with music and everything going on. And, you know, being at practice and, you know, having a coach come by you and say that word in a joking manner. But it wasn't really a joking manner to me. And the two other players that I was with, it wasn't a joke to them. After he did say the word to us, you know, I'm not going to repeat it verbatim, but he said the word and me and the other players had looked at each other in a sense of, does he talk to you like that? Or is this something that was a joke that you guys have going with each other? And me being young, I didn't know. So we kind of just brushed it over. And you know, and I held on to that from that day. And I just kind of lost the respect for the man after that, you know, and I just kind of looked at him different, but not in a sense to where like I hated him, but it was just kind of a different level of respect I have for him. And so when I held on to that for the years, and then when I finally had the platform to approach him, it took a lot out of me to do it. I was afraid to do it, but, you know, I approached him when I felt like I was ready to approach him.
When you did approach him, what was Morgan's reaction to it?
Initially, we were in a kind of a team building activity where he couldn't say anything initially. You know, we were doing a team building exercise where you sit in the chair and, you know, people, you know, tell you about yourself, what you can work on, and you can't reply. But after the thing was over, he did pull me to the side and had a brief discussion about it. There was an apology there, but I didn't feel like it was sincere because it was followed by more of like an excuse of, you know, I wish you would have came to me before. This is what, you know, how I talk to my teammates. And that's the kind of stance he took. It was an apology more followed by an excuse to me. So, I mean, but during that time, it was an apology and it was over for me, you know. So, you know, we came back home and it was never discussed again. We never talked about it again. It was something that we brushed under until now, 2020, when, you know, there's more allegations coming up regarding it.
You and Morgan haven't probably talked or even at least talked about this since you've left Utah until now, right?
We haven't even talked yet. Last time I talked to him was when I did approach him. But during this time, you know, with the investigation and everything, I'm pretty sure that, you know, it's a lot going on. But we have not had a conversation since, you know, said allegations.
They talked about him coming back to the program after looking into this matter. You've obviously been interviewed by the firm who spearheaded this,
right?
You know, told them what happened, but then when they sent out the report, it said that Morgan denied your allegation.
Yeah.
What was your initial reaction when you read that?
I was upset. And I felt like it was just a slap in my face to the truth, you know. And I have nothing to gain by speaking my truth. And I, you know, as a single father now, and, you know, I'm using a degree that I was blessed to get from the University of Utah and working, I had nothing to gain from speaking my truth. And being denied, I just felt like it was a flat slap in my face. Like, and just to me, it's like, if that happens, he can do it again. And all he has to do is deny it, and then it's going to be swept under the rug. But I had no reason to get on a social media platform to lie to anybody. And I was upset, you know, because I wear all my Utah gear with pride. I wear my rings with honor, and I support the university. And, you know, and I felt it was a slap in my face, not only to me, but to any other minority that steps on that campus and has to play under him.
When you read that, obviously you end up going through interviews. How many times did they talk to you? Did that firm talk to you?
We talked on two separate occasions, both around, first one around an hour, second one around, 15, 20 minutes, just to kind of clarify my statements.
And then you also told them about who was around or players you talked about when he used that word when you were a freshman?
Yes.
And did they interview them?
That I don't know. I'm not 100% on who they interviewed. You know, I gave them the contact information that I had for the players that, you know, I could, you know, give them, but I'm not sure if they actually interviewed the players that I mentioned.
Were you pleased that, you know, Morgan was still going to stay with the team, and that has that mindset changed now since you found out that he denied the allegations?
No, I feel like his consequences are fair, and, you know, and I never wanted him to lose his career in this at all, you know, because we all make mistakes, and I've been a player there, and I've had my fair share of mistakes, and you know, I've gotten over them. But after the denial, it did not change at all how I felt about, you know, him being a coach, because at the end of the day, you know, I would rather want to have the discussion with him personally, and that's something that I would want for myself and my family, because my family is really upset about this as well, because my mother knew about me confronting him, and you know, and I would have no reason to call my mom in college to let her know that, and you know, and so she was expecting a little bit more of a you know, not a denial, in other words. I wasn't expecting the denial, but I just kind of felt like it's, you know, it was a slap in my face, like I said before. And, you know, I never wanted him to lose his job, but I just kind of lost respect for him. You know, at this point, you know, I'm moved on in my life, and, you know, I'm doing what, you know, I can do for myself and my family. But not at all did I, you know, I'm glad that, you know, he's back with this team and he can do what he loves to do. But the denial is something that I think is more between me and Scally than it is between, you know, his job and the university.
Something you mentioned on Twitter was that you have been getting threats. Did it kind of die down after they were looking into this matter with Morgan Scalia, and then did it kick back up after they chose to bring him back?
No. I mean, when I initially sent that text out, my phone was blowing up with all type of. I had a lot more supporting text and messages on my phone than I did negative, but I did have a fair share of negativity, not to the caliber of what I received recently that I posted, and that was on Monday. So, and you know, we didn't find out till yesterday. Yeah. I didn't find out till yesterday. So, and that was Monday morning. This is at 4 o'clock in the morning. I received that text, and I woke up to the text, and I read the text, and you know, I screenshotted it and sent it back to the investigators, and you know, they told me that they would be in contact with the university, and I really didn't hear anything from the university, but I decided to post that so they know that. What I'm going through and what I was, you know, was presented to me. And, you know, at first I didn't know how to take it, but I was pretty sure it was a troll or someone playing around or, you know, but then, you know, my mother's like, but what if it's not? So then it got a little serious to me to where like, that's not okay. And I'm like, it was hurtful, but you know, I've been a victim of people just, you know, spamming, calling and playing around and prank calling and stuff like that. And that's the kind of stance that I took that it was. But, you know, my mother's address was exposed in that text message. And that, you know, put it over the top for me that, you know, someone has to see this.
Did you talk to the police about this at all?
Yes, I was contacted by the university police. We had a brief discussion about it. And, you know, we're working to getting it resolved or, you know, trying to figure out what we can do about the situation, you know, but right now it's early stages. We only talked briefly and, you know, we're going to figure it out.
You sent out that snapshot. Something that happened later on today was that Mark Harlan and also the University of Utah tweeted out how they will not tolerate that and that they, you know, stand behind you. What were your thoughts when you saw those tweets come across?
That's amazing. You know, and I'm happy that, you know, they are standing with me and behind me because, you know, through all this, you know, the past couple of weeks has just been pretty crazy, kind of, you know, going from, you know, working every day and barely looking at your phone to now being on, you know, major platforms. This is nothing that I ever wanted to happen, period. So it's been pretty crazy. And a lot of people are still calling me and emailing me and wanting interviews and wanting to talk about it. But I'm a father at the end of the day, and I don't have that much time to be on my phone. But, you know, I'm glad that they took the time to actually hear me. You know, in the beginning, I didn't feel like I was heard, and I didn't feel like it was taken serious. But now that I see that, you know, they're tweeting about it, and they're actually, you know, understanding that, you know, this is serious to me and both my family and, you know, my son, that, you know, I really appreciate them doing that. And that's something that, you know, is what Utah is about. And I appreciate it.
Has Kyle Whittingham talked to you at all throughout any of this?
Not yet. You know, I'm pretty sure he has a lot on his plate with everything going on. And, you know, I was not expecting him to immediately give me a call, but, you know, we haven't spoke yet. And, you know, hopefully we can have that conversation once, you know, things die down and things kind of smooth out. But, you know, I would definitely want to have the conversation with him.
What about Morgan? Is he a guy you would be willing to talk to if he reached out or, you know, the other way around?
Of course. I would love to have that conversation with him, you know, and I know he's going through a lot and, you know, the universe is going through a lot. But one of the main things is, you know, from the very beginning, I would love to have that discussion. And, you know, I've notified the university about wanting to have a discussion with him. And that's something that I would definitely be open to.
Moving forward, what kind of happens now? You're just kind of waiting to see what happens with, you know, having conversations with the U and as well as trying to get these threats settled.
Yeah. I mean, moving forward right now, I'm pretty much taking it day by day. You know, I'm not expecting anything more than what, you know, is happening and what, you know, is I was hurt. And that was the number one thing that, you know, I my allegations are serious to me. And, you know, they are now being heard by the proper people. And so Daily is just, you know, I don't plan on, you know, dragging this thing out for another month. You know, I have, you know, a lot of stuff going on with, you know, my own life. But, you know, I feel like we're moving in the right direction as far as, you know, they're reaching out to me and, you know, having the support. I haven't had one, you know, call from the university that wasn't a supportive call. And that's the number one thing that, you know, I really enjoy and I appreciate.
When they looked into this matter and when you found out the allegations were denied, do you feel like that they looked into your side of the story enough?
I don't. I mean, I'm sure that it was the text was why we're here. And I feel like me coming in after it wasn't really necessarily taken serious. I don't know if it was taken serious. To me, it's serious. But to them, like, I read the little snippet of my report. And out of, you know, a lot of players that could be interviewed, even the players that were at the leadership retreat, there were only three players in total that were reported to have been interviewed. And there's a lot more people out there that I mean, there's two different instances. But, you know, when I approached him, there's a lot of people from there that weren't interviewed. And then from the beginning, I'm not sure who was interviewed necessarily, but from what the report says, it's a couple of players that I, you know, went and told them to. But initially, I never told anyone, so I couldn't think of anyone else it could be besides, you know, the people that I've told recently. And I'm not sure if they talked to the other players that were there, you know.
Part of it too, the reason why they were looking into this whole matter anyway, because Morgan admitted to that text message, but mm-hmm. they were also looking to see if this was the only incident of this type of subject. And right. that was when players, not only you, but other former players have came out and gave their comments. It wasn't really a story of what happened. It was just their own opinions. But exactly. Do you feel like in your conversations with them that they were really looking into the matter, but then didn't see the full results when they came out with their findings?
Yeah, I mean, the interview, I felt like it should have went way in depth, way more in depth. I feel like they were in a little bit of rush to get him back into the program rather than actually looking into the allegations. Because I would understand if it was one incident, but when you have multiple different allegations about one thing, you have to really look at, who are we talking to now? Are we talking to a coach that made one mistake or a coach that is consistently making mistakes? And I read through the report and just him admitting that he was joking about Polynesians in a racial way that was reported by an employee. And then, you know, the text message, that's enough right there. And people are losing their jobs for less than that right now. And you know, and my allegations then, you know, come out and I feel like, you know, I'm not sure what the investigation, I'm not sure what they did. I just don't feel like they did enough, you know, because this has been, he came back way too fast. And, you know, and it's my issue with it is so and now he's back and the other players now come out with allegations. Like, I feel like you need to do an in-depth investigation before you go throw him back in a sense. And, you know, but I didn't feel like that was done.
Are you going to take some proper steps to maybe see if they can look into this matter more? Or are you going to kind of just let it be what it is?
That's something that I have not decided that I wanted to do. You know, everything is really fresh. It's just about 24 hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something that I'm going to have to sit and process. And it's something that I want to continue with. Right now, I can't answer that question, but, you know, I'm taking it day by day and we're going to figure it out. But at the end of the day, I just want to come out of this in a positive light and, you know, it's over with. But, you know, being denied of my allegations is why I'm now speaking out again versus just, you know, I just feel like that was a slap in my face. And I feel like I was called an N-word again by that denial, to be honest with you.
Say that Morgan Scully called you up right now and you guys were about to have a conversation. You don't have to tell me what would be said, but how do you think that a conversation would go? Would it get heated? Would it be calm? Like, how do you see it playing out?
I wouldn't expect anything to be hostile, you know, as you know, he's a former coach. I'm his former player. And Coach Whittingham has always taught us respect and how to, but I would never, even want to have a conversation that would be heated. You know, I would want to have a conversation from going from his player to now a grown man with children, that type of conversation, calm and you know, an intelligent conversation, a grown man to man conversation. I don't know where it would go, but, you know, I don't have any expectations of being upset or being angry, but I would love to, you know, have a discussion with him regarding, you know, what I feel is the truth and, you know, why I was denied maybe, but I'm not sure. I mean, I can't really answer it because, you know, until we get on the phone is when, you know, we'll really figure it out. But, you know, I have respect for the university and, you know, my denial, the respect is just not really too much there for him right now after that. But I would be willing to have a grown man conversation in a calm tone. And, you know, I have no reason at this point in age to get upset at anybody because, you know, it happened a long time ago and it's nothing that I want to make a part of, you know, my life now. I'm not going to make anything worse than what it already is. And I feel like having a heated discussion, it would be worse.
I've really looked at this on Twitter, seeing, you know, comments towards you and things like that. I kind of have, you know, a little bit of a grasp. I obviously don't know everything because I don't have your account, which I don't know if I do, frankly, want it. But, yeah. I mean, we all know the difference between, you know, fans of the University of Utah, fans who watched you play.
Right.
How do you feel they are right now? Do you feel like you're you know, being attacked more by Ute fans, or do you feel the love from the Ute fans?
I'm feeling a lot of love from Ute fans right now. And it's been the same since the very beginning. I've had a lot of support from the Ute fans. I've had a lot of great messages from you know, everyone around. Even BYU fans have reached out to me. So I've had a lot of support. And, you know, I've had the ignorant, you know, people, and there's always going to be those in every bunch. Yep. But I've had a lot more support and a lot more, you know, messages that made me feel secure. Because when I initially said that and it blew up, I was thinking, you know, I'm never going to be able to come to Utah again. But, you know, after seeing all the support from the fans and my former player standing with me, and you know, it made it a lot better process than I thought it was going to be.
Well, Ryan, you've obviously carved out too much time for me, and I really do appreciate it. But also, stay safe. And then if there's anything I can do for you, please holler at me.
Okay, definitely. Yeah, thank you.
And there you go. That was former Utah cornerback Ryan Lacy joining me here on the Crimson Corner Podcast. Really appreciate his time. Well, that'll do it for this edition of the Crimson Corner Podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Trevor A. Sports or at KSL Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Till next time, thanks for listening to the Crimson Corner Podcast. It's always powered by KSLSports.com.